Chapter 9. I finished college at Nicolet, August 1829. I could easily have learned in 3 or 4 years what had taken 7. Our teachers cared more to pass our time than enlarge our understanding. As soon as the intelligence guided by the Jesuits has ascended to the feet of the Pope, it must remain there, prostrate itself, and fall asleep. Though my intelligence often revolted, I forced myself to accept these fables as gospel truths. These were times of terrible struggle in my soul. I remember the day I expressed my doubts to my professor of philosophy. When my superior abuses his authority over me to deceive me by false doctrines, or commands me to do things I consider wrong and dishonest, shall I not be lost if I obey him? He answered, "You will never have to give an account to God for what you are ordered to do by your legitimate superiors. If they deceive you, being themselves deceived, they alone would be responsible. You do not sin if you follow the basic golden rule of all Christian philosophy and perfection, humility and obedience." Little satisfied, I expressed my reluctance to several of my fellow students, including Joseph Turcotte, who later became a minister of public works in Canada. He answered, "The more I study what they call their principles of Christian philosophy and logic, the more I think that they intend to make fools of every one of us." The next day, I opened my heart to our principal, Mr. Lepfohan, whom I venerated as a saint and loved as a father. I wrote down his answer. "My dear Tinicky, how did Adam and Eve bring upon us all the deluge of evils? Is it not because they raised their miserable reason above that of God? They had the promise of eternal life if they had submitted their reason to their supreme master. They were lost by rebelling against the authority of God. So it is today. All the evils, the errors, the crimes by which the world is overflooded comes from the same revolt of the human will and reason against the will and reason of God. God reigns yet over a part of the world of the elect, through the Pope, who controls the teachings of our infallible and holy church. In submitting ourselves to God, who speaks to us through the Pope, we are saved. We walk to the paths of truth and holiness, but we would err and perish as soon as we put our reason above that of our superior, the Pope, speaking to us in person or through some of our superiors who have received from him the authority to guide us." "But," said I, "if my reason tells me that the Pope or other superior put by him over me are mistaken and command me something wrong, would I not be guilty before God if I obey them?" "Impossible," answered Mr. Lepfohan, "for the Pope and the bishops who are united to him have the promise of never failing in the faith. They cannot lead you into any errors nor command you anything against the law of God." "But suppose they do commit any error or compel you to believe or do something contrary to the gospel. God would not hold you accountable when you are obeying your legitimate superior." I had to content myself with that answer but in spite of my respectful silence, he saw that I was yet uneasy and sad. To convince me, he put into my hands the two works of Demastre, La Pape and La Cerise de St. Petersburg, where I found the same doctrines supported. He was honest in his convictions, for he had found them in these books approved by the, quote, infallible popes. I know Rome can show a certain number of intelligent men in every branch of science who have studied in their colleges, but these remarkable men had from the beginning secretly broken for themselves the chains with which their superiors had tried to bind them. 9/10 of them have been persecuted, excommunicated, tortured, some even put to death for having dared to think for themselves. Galileo was a Roman Catholic, one of the greatest men whom science claims, but was he not sent to a dungeon and publicly flogged? Had he not to ask pardon from God and man for thinking differently from the Pope about the motion of the earth around the sun? Copernicus was surely one of the greatest lights of his time, but was censured and excommunicated for his admirable scientific discoveries. France does not know any greater genius among her most gifted sons than Pascal. He was a Catholic, but he lived and died excommunicated. Those pupils of Roman Catholic colleges, of whom sometimes the priest so imprudently boasts, have gone out from the hands of their Jesuit teachers to proclaim their supreme contempt for the priesthood and papacy. They have seen with their own eyes that the priest of Rome is the most dangerous, the most implacable enemy of intelligence, progress, and liberty. Voltaire studied in a Roman Catholic college, and it was probably there that he served or nerved himself for his terrible battle against Roman Catholicism. Will never recover from the blow which Voltaire has struck at her in France. When you see Roman Catholic colleges and nunneries raising their haughty steeples over some commanding hills or in the midst of some beautiful valleys, you may confidently expect that the self-respect and the many virtues of the people will soon disappear. Intelligence, progress, prosperity will soon be replaced by superstition, idleness, drunkenness, Sabbath breaking, ignorance, poverty, and degradation of every kind. The colleges and nunneries are the high citadels from which the Pope darts his surest missiles against the rights and liberties of nations. It is in the colleges and nunneries of Rome that men learn that they are created to obey the Pope in everything, that the Bible must be burnt, and that liberty must be destroyed at any cost.